The sand looks disturbed, but not by wind. It holds a shallow collapse, warm to the touch, shaped with intent. On this exposed rock in the Caribbean, nothing moves without reason. Heat punishes mistakes. Storms erase weak shelter. Survival here is narrow and conditional. Months earlier, the cay was empty. No tracks, no nests, no margin for error. A handful of endangered iguanas were released onto limestone that offered no forgiveness and no guarantees. If they failed, there would be no rescue and no repeat attempt. Now the ground tells a different story. The question is no longer whether the animals endured the transfer. They did. The question is whether endurance turned into something more dangerous to assume. Continuation. On a rock shaped by loss, proof is fragile. It hides underground. It disappears quickly. And if it is real, it changes what survival means for a species running out of places to stand. Chapter 1. The Empty Rock and the Last Chance. At first light, Prickly Pear East Cay looks abandoned by design. Wind cuts across exposed limestone. Salt hangs in the air. The ground is pale, cracked, and sharp enough to punish anything that moves without care. There is no fresh water, no shade worth trusting, no permanent human footprint. The cay exists as a thin strip of rock in a restless sea, shaped more by erosion than mercy. That emptiness is the reason it matters. Across the Eastern Caribbean, the Lesser Antillean iguana has been losing ground for decades. Not slowly, not quietly. Island by island, the species has been pushed back by development, invasive predators, and the steady fracture of habitat into unusable fragments. Roads cut nesting sites in half. Feral cats and rats raid eggs before they can harden. Tourism brings pressure that never fully retreats. By the early 21st century, the iguana's range has collapsed into scattered pockets, each one vulnerable to a single bad season or a single unchecked threat. Prickly Pear East Cay sits apart from that pattern. It is small, it is harsh, it offers no comfort, but it has one crucial advantage. It is predator-free. For conservation scientists, that fact carries weight. No mongooses, no feral cats, no rats, no dogs. The cay's isolation has kept it clean in ways larger islands cannot manage without constant intervention. Surveys confirm sparse but sufficient vegetation. Sea grape, low scrub, cactus, enough to support herbivorous reptiles adapted to scarcity. The limestone absorbs heat during the day and releases it at night, creating thermal stability that iguanas need to regulate their bodies. On paper, the cay works. On the ground, it feels like a gamble. Relocation is never a first choice. Moving a species carries risk at every step. Capture can cause injury or stress. Transport can introduce disease. Release can fail if animals reject the terrain or cannot compete for limited resources. And if a project collapses, there is no rewind. The animals do not get a second move. But doing nothing is also a decision. By the time planning begins, field data shows populations elsewhere declining faster than expected. Hurricanes have intensified. Development continues. Genetic diversity is thinning. The question shifts from whether relocation is ideal to whether it is necessary. The answer comes quietly in meeting rooms and field reports. The cay is approved. The work starts before sunrise on the source islands. Trained teams move carefully through scrub and rock, tracking animals already known from previous surveys. Each iguana is approached slowly. Hands are firm but controlled. Tails are supported. Heads are covered to reduce stress. No unnecessary force. No shortcuts. These animals are not cargo. They are the remaining capital of a species running out of time. Health checks happen immediately. Weight, hydration, signs of parasites, blood samples. Each iguana is cleared or removed from the candidate pool. The goal is not numbers. The goal is viability. A smaller group with strong health offers a better chance than a larger group carrying unseen risk. Crates are prepared with ventilation and padding. Temperature is monitored. Transport is planned around weather windows and calm seas. Every detail is documented. There is no room for improvisation once the animals leave shore. When the boat reaches Prickly Pear East Cay, the contrast is stark. The source islands are green, busy, pressured. The cay is stripped down to essentials: rock, wind, light. It feels exposed, even hostile. The iguanas are unloaded one by one. Crates are placed in shaded pockets where scrub allows. The lids stay closed while teams take final readings. Heat, wind, cloud cover, timing matters. Releasing an animal at the wrong moment can undo months of planning. When the first crate opens, there is no dramatic rush. The iguana pauses. It tastes the air. It lifts its head slowly, then it moves, low and deliberate, claws finding purchase in unfamiliar stone. Others follow, some freeze, some bolt for cover. One disappears into scrub and does not look back. Within minutes, the K is no longer empty. From a distance, the release looks anticlimactic. No cheering, no speeches, no cameras pushing close. This is not a moment built for spectacle. It is built for survival. Once the animals disperse, the work shifts from action to restraint. Teams withdraw. Human presence is minimized. The K must become normal to the iguanas as quickly as possible. Every extra footprint is a reminder of disturbance. The first days are tense. Observers return only at planned intervals. Tracks are checked. Shelter use is noted. Feeding behavior is logged. Some iguanas adapt immediately, moving confidently between sun and shade, grazing on available plants. Others stay hidden longer than expected, conserving energy, testing safety. Not all outcomes are positive. One animal shows signs of dehydration and must be retrieved for treatment. Another is found lethargic after a period of extreme heat. These incidents are recorded without spin. Failure, even partial, is part of the data. The K does not offer forgiveness. It offers conditions. The iguanas must meet them. At night, temperatures drop, wind increases. The animals shelter in crevices and under vegetation. The limestone radiates stored warmth. It is just enough. By morning, movement resumes. Weeks pass, then months. The K remains unforgiving, but patterns begin to form. Home ranges emerge, basking sites are reused, feeding routes become visible. The iguanas are not thriving yet. They are holding. That distinction matters. Holding means survival without collapse. It means energy intake roughly matches expenditure. It means stress behaviors decrease rather than spike. It means the animals are no longer acting like visitors. Still, nothing is proven. No eggs have been confirmed. No hatchlings have appeared. A population can survive for a season and still fail to reproduce. For a species already in retreat, reproduction is the line between delay and recovery. From the mainland, the project attracts cautious attention. Some see promise. Others see risk disguised as optimism. Conservation history is full of projects that looked sound until the data arrived. Nobody involved declares victory. Not now. Not yet. Prickly Pear East K remains a test, a controlled experiment shaped by urgency. If it fails, it will do so quietly, without headlines, leaving only reports and hard lessons. If it succeeds, the implications could reach far beyond one species and one rock. For now, the K holds its breath. The iguanas move through heat and stone, learning a landscape that does not bend for them. Every day they survive brings them closer to the next question. Can they do more than endure? Chapter 2: Release, Risk, and Watching the Clock. By the time the monitoring phase settles into routine, the drama has already shifted. The crates are gone. The boats have stopped coming daily. What remains is exposure. Heat presses down without apology. Wind scours the limestone. Rain arrives on its own schedule, sometimes in violent bursts, sometimes not at all. This is the part that cannot be managed. The iguanas are no longer guests under supervision. They are residents on a rock that does not care about projections or funding cycles. Every variable that matters now sits outside human control. Monitoring begins early each morning. Field teams approach from a distance, careful to keep their presence predictable and limited. Binoculars replace hands, notebooks replace action. The goal is to observe without shaping behavior. Each iguana carries a passive identifier, allowing individuals to be tracked across sightings without recapture. Locations are logged, basking times are noted, feeding choices are recorded. Patterns emerge quickly. Some animals claim higher ground, favoring exposed limestone ledges that heat fast in the morning. Others stay closer to vegetation, trading warmth for cover. The division appears consistent, not random. It suggests individual strategies rather than confusion. Food becomes the first test. The K does not offer abundance. Leaves are tougher. Growth is slower. Salt spray alters plant chemistry. Iguanas that feed aggressively early in the day show better body condition than those that delay. That difference widens over weeks. It is not dramatic, but it is measurable. Heat follows. Midday temperatures climb beyond comfort. Iguanas flatten their bodies to reduce surface exposure or retreat into crevices where limestone cools unevenly. Those that misjudge timing suffer. One animal is found sluggish after remaining exposed too long. Intervention is debated, then rejected. The rules are clear. Rescue distorts data. If survival depends on constant correction, the model fails. Storms arrive without warning. Squalls sweep across the Cay, tearing at scrub and driving rain sideways. After one storm, fresh tracks vanish. For 2 days, sightings drop. The concern is immediate and contained. Teams wait. When the iguanas reappear, muddy but intact, the relief is muted by restraint. Survival does not equal success. It only postpones judgment. Losses do occur. One individual disappears entirely. No body is found. No signs explain the absence. Predation is unlikely, but not impossible. Raptors pass overhead. The sea claims what falls too close to the edge. The data records the loss without narrative. A single disappearance does not doom the project, but it tightens margins. Time becomes the enemy. Every conservation relocation runs against a clock that is rarely stated aloud. Animals can endure stress for a limited period before it manifests as failure. The window between release and adaptation is narrow. If behaviors do not stabilize, collapse can follow quickly. Field notes begin to show subtle shifts. Movement ranges tighten. Basking sites are reused with precision. Feeding routes become efficient, not exploratory. This is not comfort. It is competence. The Cay remains harsh, but the iguanas stop treating it as unfamiliar. Physiological markers support the observation. Visual assessments show stable body mass in most individuals. Skin condition improves. Stress postures decrease. No signs of widespread illness appear. These are small wins measured in absence rather than achievement. Public interest grows, but access remains controlled. The Cay is not opened for viewing. Images released are limited and delayed. The project does not need attention. Attention brings pressure. Pressure brings mistakes. Inside the data, the biggest question remains unanswered. Survival is one metric. Adaptation is another. But reproduction is the threshold that separates a refuge from a holding pen. Without it, the Cay becomes a pause, not a solution. The monitoring team resists anticipation. No nests are assumed. No timelines are promised. Iguanas breed on environmental cues that do not respect human calendars. Rainfall matters. Temperature matters. Nutrition matters. None of those variables can be forced. Weeks stretch into months. The iguanas endure a full seasonal cycle. Dry periods sharpen competition. Wet periods trigger bursts of plant growth that disappear almost as fast as they arrive. The animals adjust intake accordingly. Younger individuals mirror older ones. Behavior transmits through proximity, not instruction. One observation stands out. Several iguanas begin using the same sheltered slopes repeatedly, especially after rainfall. The soil there is looser, warmer, more stable. The finding is logged carefully. No conclusions are drawn. Another storm hits harder than expected. Wind strips leaves from scrub. One feeding area is reduced overnight. The next survey shows altered movement patterns as iguanas reroute toward remaining vegetation. No panic, no collapse. Adaptation again. Externally, skepticism remains. Critics point out that early survival says little about long-term viability. They are not wrong. Conservation history is filled with projects that passed the first year and failed the next. The team responds only with data. Emotion does not change outcomes. By the end of the monitoring year, the question sharpens. The iguanas have not retreated. They have not clustered near release points. They have not shown signs of systemic stress. They have integrated. Still, integration is not proof of future. The Cay feels different now, not softer, not safer, but occupied. Tracks crisscross sand where none existed before. Scrub shows signs of browsing. Limestone bears the marks of repeated basking. These changes are subtle, but they indicate presence with intent. As the season turns again, attention narrows to specific sites. Not because something has been confirmed, but because possibility has emerged. The data has not crossed the line into certainty, but it has reached the edge of it. The clock has not stopped. It never will. But for the first time since release, it no longer feels like it is winning. The next phase will decide whether this rock remains a test site or becomes something rarer. Proof. Chapter 3. Proof of life and what it means. The first confirmation does not arrive with ceremony. It appears as a notation in a field log, written without emphasis, circled once, then checked again against protocol. Disturbed sand. Patterned, not random. The texture is wrong for erosion, wrong for wind, wrong for runoff. It looks deliberate. The monitoring team does not announce it. They return the next morning, approaching from a different angle. The same patch shows further change. The surface has collapsed inward slightly, forming a shallow depression that holds heat. The soil is warm even in early light. Nearby vegetation is grazed but not trampled. The signs align. A nest site. This is the moment the project has been moving toward without saying so. Not survival, not adaptation, continuation. Confirmation requires patience. Iguana nests are vulnerable. Excessive observation can cause abandonment. The team marks the site at a distance and withdraws. No probes, no excavation, no verification that would trade proof for interference. Days pass, then weeks. When hatchlings finally emerge, they do so without spectacle. Small, brightly colored, fast. Their movement is instinctive and urgent. They scatter toward cover the moment they surface, responding to threats they have never seen but somehow recognize. Within minutes, they are gone. The data arrives afterward. Tracks confirm emergence. Shell fragments are identified. Measurements align with known incubation periods. This is not ambiguity. This is reproduction. The distinction matters. Survival could have been temporary. Reproduction signals something harder. The environment is not just tolerable, it is functional. Further surveys locate additional nest sites across the Kay. Not clustered, distributed. That distribution suggests confidence. It suggests the animals are not competing for a single perceived safe zone. They are using the landscape as a whole. Hatchling sightings remain rare, as expected. Predation risk is highest at this stage, even without invasive mammals. Birds patrol overhead. Exposure is constant. Losses are assumed. But survival is not measured in absolutes. It is measured in replacement. As the months progress, juvenile sightings increase incrementally. Growth rates fall within healthy ranges. No deformities are observed. No signs of nutritional deficiency appear. The Kay, harsh as it remains, is supporting life beyond the founding population. Population models are updated cautiously. Projections remain conservative. No one declares a boom, but the trend shifts from maintenance to growth. Survival rates exceed the lowest projections set during planning. Genetic assessments suggest sufficient diversity to avoid immediate bottleneck effects. The iguanas are no longer an experiment in stasis. They are a population. The ecological effects follow quietly. Browsing patterns alter plant structure in small but measurable ways. Seed dispersal increases. Certain shrubs regenerate more evenly. Insect activity shifts in response. The changes are subtle and local, but they confirm a long absent role reasserting itself. This is not restoration in the dramatic sense. It is correction. A piece of the system has returned to function. Externally, the narrative begins to shift. What was once framed as a risky relocation is now discussed as a case study. Other islands enter conversations. Other species. The idea that isolation, once a liability in Caribbean ecology, can be repurposed as protection gains traction. But restraint remains the dominant tone. The Kay's success does not erase regional threats. Development continues elsewhere. Invasive species remain entrenched on larger islands. Climate pressure intensifies. One sanctuary does not balance a collapsing system. The team is careful to frame outcomes accurately. This is not a solution for every case. It is not scalable without discipline. Predator-free status is rare and fragile. One accidental introduction could undo everything. Boats are monitored. Access is restricted. Biosecurity protocols tighten rather than relax. Declaring victory would be premature. Declaring permanence would be dishonest. What the Kay offers instead is proof of concept under pressure. It shows that when conditions are right, and when restraint matches ambition, recovery is possible, even for species pushed to the edge. It shows that conservation is not always about rebuilding what was lost in place. Sometimes it is about creating space elsewhere and letting life do the rest. There are costs. Funding must continue. Monitoring cannot stop. One hurricane with the wrong trajectory could alter the Kay permanently. Rising seas threaten low-lying nesting areas. Heat extremes may outpace adaptation. Every success exists inside a narrowing margin. The iguanas do not know this. They move through scrub and stone with the same deliberate confidence they have built since release. Adults bask where hatchlings now avoid. Juveniles test boundaries and retreat. The population behaves as populations do, not heroically, habitually. In that ordinariness lies the achievement. The final reports do not end with celebration. They end with conditions. Continued protection required. Expansion considered cautiously, replication only where controls can be enforced. No shortcuts. No optimism, divorced from data. Prickly pear East K does not become a symbol of salvation, it becomes something more useful. Evidence. Evidence that extinction trajectories can be bent, but not reversed casually. Evidence that isolation can be an asset when defended properly. Evidence that survival is not an endpoint, but a threshold that demands constant attention. As the monitoring year closes, the K looks much as it did at first light months earlier. Pale, wind-stripped, exposed, but it is no longer empty. Tracks cross the sand, nests warm beneath the surface, life moves through heat and shadow without announcement. The species is still endangered, the future is still unstable, but the line between disappearance and persistence has shifted. That shift is small, it is fragile, and for now it is real.